Welcome to Investigative Post's Money in Politics. I'm Jeff Kelly, government and politics reporter with Investigative Post, and I'm talking with Ken Cruley, who researches and produces Money in Politics, a regular feature on our website. Ken dives into campaign finance filings to see who bankrolls our elected officials, and then on this podcast, Ken and I discuss why. Welcome, Ken.
Nice to be here, Jeff.
Ken, it seems every time we do this podcast to talk about elected officials and the money they raise, we find some reason to at least mention State Senator Tim Kennedy. What's so remarkable about Kennedy? Why do we keep talking about him?
Well, we keep talking about him because, as the bank robbers do, they go where the money is. And in Kennedy's case, he has a lot more of it than most other candidates. In the most recent election cycle, which was 2019-2020, he raised about $1.1 million. Over the 4 years that we looked at, he raised $2.1 million, which is an extraordinary amount of money for a state legislator of any party in any time that I've ever seen. It's a lot of money, and the other thing that should be noted is that there was a substantial increase in 2019-20 over the previous because the Democrats took control of the state Senate, and so people got more interested in getting friendly with a Democratic senator.
He became more valuable,
right,
as an ally.
Right.
Let's give that figure some context. He's raised more than $2.1 million in the last 4 years. In that same period, Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown has raised about $1.3 million. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz has raised about $1.1 million. Both those guys had significant reelection campaigns in that time frame, while Kennedy has largely coasted to reelection in those 4 years. So what's he doing raising all that money?
Well, there's, of course, a lot of speculation whether he might want to run for mayor. He's an ally of Mayor Brown, so it's unlikely he would challenge him. But having $1.1 million almost in his account right now is certainly impressive for any candidate. He may just be wanting to rise in influence with the state Democratic leadership in the Senate. They're in the majority. A lot of folks from outside of Western New York are contributing to Kennedy now because of the fact that he is a member of the Senate majority, and he's spread his money out a bit.
Well, and that jibes with some of the ways he's used that money, how he spent it.
Right. He gave, over the last 4 years, $165,000 to the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee. I gave $22,000 to the Erie County Democratic Committee. He had multiple donations of $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 to various state Senate candidates all around the state. So he's also been a generous contributor to local candidates, Monica Wallace, other people who were running this year. So he's spread the money around, but he's still got a considerable pot of money in his account as of December.
That speaks to a guy who is trying to build his stature within the party statewide as well as locally. I mean, he's making himself indispensable as a rainmaker.
That is, the money gets people's attention, and that's certainly part of the game.
And let's talk a little bit about who Kennedy's top donors are. So we've got a political action committee for real estate developers.
From New York City.
From New York City. One for lawyers statewide. One for New York State troopers. And then a couple of individuals who are associated with the healthcare industry locally. Safe to say these are folks whose business interests come before the state legislature relatively often.
Right. Yeah, they need legislation.
One of the things you uncovered was that the average size of Kennedy's contributions has grown in the last year. Talk to us about that. What are the numbers?
Well, they're kind of incredible. Sometimes in politics, you take a look at like national campaigns and say, we raised hundreds of millions of dollars and our average contribution was $60 or something. Well, in Kennedy's case, it's a lot more than that, and it's been going up. In 2017, the average donation to Tim Kennedy's campaign was $569. The following year was $706. The following year was $885, and this year, 2020, his average contribution, average, was $1,113.
That's remarkable because that starts high at over $500 and then progresses to well over $1,000. That's the price of admission is pretty high here.
Yeah, it is. And if you search through the database, you're going to see some contributions at the bottom line that are about $30, $50. There's a few of those from old friends in South Buffalo that he has and others. There aren't too many of those. In the cycle that we're looking at, there's been hundreds and hundreds of contributions over $1,000 each year.
Yeah, and there were a couple that were in five figures, like $18,000. $18,000
from Karuba, and the Paul Simonelli, $15,000. Mark Cerrone from Niagara Falls, almost $18,000. Russ Maxwell, over $20,000. So there are some local contributors giving big bucks. This is over a four-year period. There are an awful lot of them that are out of this area. If you look at the list, you'll see New York City patrolmen, Long Island police departments, unions, and so forth. A lot of them from downstate. Nothing that touches Western New York, but for whatever reason, they feel that it's important to contribute to Tim Kennedy from Buffalo.
Because he's regarded as an up-and-comer, as someone whose influence is growing, particularly since, as you point out, the Senate majority, the Democrats took the Senate majority in 2019.
There are also heavy contributions from various Indian tribes. The Seneca Nation gave him about $15,000 for 4 years. Native Pride, almost $13,000. And there are others, contributions of smaller amounts. So that's a considerable source of his funds, too.
Kennedy is certainly known as an ambitious guy. In 2009, he broke with Democrats in the Erie County Legislature and caucused with Republicans when it served his interests. He very shrewdly, some would characterize it otherwise, he very shrewdly leapfrogged Mark Schroeder, a member of his own South Buffalo political faction, to run for the Senate seat that he holds now. He took it from Bill Stokowski. And there's long been talk about him running for mayor of Buffalo. What do you make of that? Do you think that's likely?
I think it's certainly something that's a serious consideration for him. He's expressed it to various people. It would make sense for all sorts of reasons. He's certainly put himself in a good position. $1 million plus in an account certainly would scare off a lot of people who might otherwise be interested in running against him if he were a candidate for mayor. He is an ally of Mayor Brown, and so that seems unlikely. We're assuming that Mayor Brown runs for re-election next year. And if Mayor Brown gets an appointment to some position in the Biden administration or something, and everything opens up, Kennedy would be the most logical candidate to step in because of his visibility and the money that he has.
Right. So far, we have just one declared candidate in the race for mayor. The one candidate we have is India Walton. She's a registered nurse turned community activist, and until recently, she was executive director of the Fruit Belt Community Land Trust, its first executive director. She resigned that position in order to run for mayor. Talk to me about that kind of candidacy. You've got it's a grassroots candidacy for sure.
Well, it's certainly a long shot. What I don't know is what are her credentials for being mayor? What is she going to talk about? Why does she want to be mayor? I don't know who's supporting her. I don't know if she has any resources or if she can raise any money to run a campaign. Defunding police? Are we talking about other things? In my mind, one overriding issue for Mayor Brown, Ms. Walton, or anybody else who decides to run for mayor next year is the City Control Board is projecting $200 million worth of deficits over the next 4 years. And the city has struck out so far on federal aid, has a big hole in this year's budget, as you know, and it's not going to go away in the following year or the year after that or the year after that.
And plagued last year's budget by borrowing money, which will have to be repaid by the end of next year.
Right. And the city, in their four-year projection, said that they were going to cut spending by $25 million to pay back the money that they used to close out the books for 19 and 20 fiscal year.
To which the control board responded, essentially, give us names. Tell us who you're firing.
Yeah, you know? And it doesn't look like that they've gotten any names. And That's a serious, serious issue and for whoever's running for mayor. And it should be something that the citizens of Buffalo should be concerned about, because it's going to inevitably wind up with higher taxes and reduced services, and because the state's in no position to bail out the city, and it doesn't look like the federal government is rushing to do it either.
Yeah. So she officially launched in this era of coronavirus with a Facebook Live event on December 13th. And as we speak, about a week after that event, about 4,000 people have watched that video. She's raised a few thousand dollars on the strength of that, small donations. And she's got a volunteer list of about 120 people, which is, you know, not bad for 1 week into a campaign. But of course, a few thousand dollars, it doesn't begin to make the nut. She is also, like many progressive candidates across the country, signed a pledge not to take corporate donations. And that includes money, of course, from developers who bankroll a lot of campaigns around here. There's no indication that they're lining up to donate to her anyway. There are national sources for money for candidates like India Walton, who espouse progressive policies around housing and policing, and who are taking on party structures, especially women of color. And so it sounds as if they hope to line up that sort of financing from outside the city.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I guess it depends on how well she can present herself to organizations that are in a position to help with that. And it's been done. I mean, you look at different level of government, but if you look at some of the Senate campaigns that we just saw this fall, tens of millions of dollars raised on the internet. And if somebody catches on with the internet, it's sort of the total contrast to what we just talked about Kennedy's average contribution. You can wind up with average contributions of 10 or 20 bucks, but from a lot of people donating multiple times. And so I wouldn't discount the possibility. I guess it'll depend on how well she can sell her position to organizations that can facilitate that, because it's not something that she can necessarily flip a switch and turn on by herself.
Is Brown, should he decide to run for a fifth term, is he vulnerable?
I think that the shelf life of somebody going into his 16th year is a pretty high issue, sell-by date, if you will. But the as I've mentioned in a previous blog post of mine, you can't beat somebody with nobody. I wasn't referring to Ms. Walton at the time, because I didn't even hear of Ms. Walton. But you have no city councilman interested in running, no state legislators interested in running, no judges who would come off the bench and run for something like that. And so none of the obvious sources of candidates for the office of mayor of Buffalo are coming forward. As you know, it's been a tradition for the last 40 or 50 years that we've had mayors coming out of the state Senate. Not necessarily that it has to be that way, but it's convenient because it's an off-year election for them. But I think it'd be possible for somebody who can present themselves well to attract a good chunk of votes just as a protest against Mayor Brown. That could be 30% or more of the vote for someone who's relatively unknown, just because the person's name isn't Byron Brown.
In 2009, a fairly vigorous reelection campaign against then Councilman Mickey Kearns in the Democratic primary, which more or less decides the mayoral election, Brown got a little more than 26,000 votes. In 2013, against Bernie Tolbert, 15,500, a precipitous drop. 2017, he got just 14,000 against Mark Schroeder. So that's not the kind of trend you want to see, right?
No. It's showing a lack of interest and people being not happy with choices, but just staying away, basically, because he still won all of those primaries, even though his vote total kept going down. But it's not like he's totally beloved and admired by everybody in the city. And so the Byron Brown's going to have to deal with that. Whether it could defeat him, as I said, I have my doubts about that. Depending on a candidate catching fire, things could be a little more interesting. The other thing, of course, Jeff, is that the primary's in June. We're only talking 6 months.
Right, and petitioning in February.
Right, and so somebody who wants to put a campaign together to raise the money that we were just talking about, that Ms. Walton or somebody else might want to do, starting from zero, you have to ramp it up very quickly, and that presents a problem all by itself.
In a smaller way, it presents a problem to Byron Brown as well. His campaign coffers are greatly diminished,
mm-hmm.
or at least they were as of the last filing. He had, I can't remember the exact number, a little over $100,000.
Yeah, it was about $115,000. See in January what the new numbers are, but I know he's had a fundraiser or two, but it's not going to be a big number. I mean, some people would speculate that he's not even running because he's raised a little money. But maybe he just figures he can flip the switch and it'll come pouring in. That remains to be seen.
He's probably right about that. Any other interesting races this next year?
The two other marquee races that there might be is for county sheriff and county controller. Tim Howard is not going to run for re-election. My sources tell me he's running for supervisor of the town of Wales. The parties are looking for candidates. On the Republican side, a couple prominent names, Karen Case, a former Buffalo police officer, also the wife of Judge Ken Case, John Garcia, a former Buffalo police officer, some guy named Steve Filano that we read about recently, who says if he gets elected, he won't follow the laws. And I believe the Republicans have interviewed a Amherst policeman for the job. The Democrats, I would think Bernie Tolbert may have a shot at getting the nomination again. 4 years ago, we came within 3,400 votes, about 1.5% difference. If the turnout had been better in the city of Buffalo, Tolbert would have been sheriff last time. There's also Dennis Richards, a retired Buffalo policeman who also is interested in the job. In the controller race, we're all assuming, it hasn't been made official, that Stefan Mihailu is not running. The Republicans don't seem enamored by anything that he's interested in right now. There's talk about him running for Hamburg supervisor. That may or may not happen. Does Lynn Dixon, who is a deputy in his office, who just ran for countywide office last year, run again now for controller? That's a possibility. On the Democratic side, the only name I've heard so far is Kevin Hardwick, the county legislator, which I think is an interesting choice.
A freshly minted Democrat.
Yeah, he'd been a Democrat for almost 2 years now. Hard to entice candidates for controller because you would, in an ideal world, like to have someone who knows something about accounting, maybe a CPA, but the office pays around $80,000, and that may not attract the right candidates, so you wind up with more folks that are more politically inclined. There's been a tradition of that in that office, unfortunately.
Well, in any case, the candidates for these offices will need to reveal themselves fairly quickly, because petitioning begins in February.
Right.
And so I imagine we'll see a lot of fundraising in the next few months, and there will be lots for us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That's Money in Politics for this week. What's next on your docket, Ken?
We're going to look at the cost of running for some offices. We'll probably focus on state legislative seats that were run this year. A lot of money coming from Albany in some of those races, and we'll take a look at that.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ken, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
You can follow Ken Crooley's work at politicsandstuff.com, and of course, keep coming back to investigativepost.org for our deep coverage of issues of importance to Western New York.